Yeah, folks, burn back better. That's the plan. I don't need to show you any videos of the fires. It's been on everybody's mind. Horrendous fires in LA. The morning Harley Davidson. Yeah, horrendous fires in the USA, folks. Malibu, Eaton, Pacific Palisades.
Well, you're seeing this moments after I saw it. The clouds just cleared, and I can tell you this is the most devastating event that I've seen. I've seen the earthquakes, all the fires here over the last 30 or 40 years, and we've never seen anything like this. This is Pacific Palisades, and the fire went through here, and it just took out thousands of homes all the way down to the shoreline. I mean, to describe it, really, it looks like a war zone. Now, the winds have died down a little bit right now, so they can make some progress, and as I mentioned, the smoke just cleared. This is the first time we were able to get in here and see the destruction. That's the village in Pacific Palisades. But as you can see, row after row after row, every single home burned right down to the foundation. Fortunately, this fire, we're not hearing about any fatalities. The other fire out in Altadena and Pasadena, we've had at least five people killed in that one. Fortunately, everyone got out of this. But look at the devastation. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's hard to describe how bad this is.
Absolutely devastating, like the worst fire in Los Angeles' history. And you've seen all the videos. If you haven't got a good report on it, I actually recommend going and looking at Jeff Berwick's latest report. He put out a couple of days ago. Covered the fires quite extensively. It's the same scenario that we saw in Paradise, the same as what we saw in Lahaina. You know, houses reduced to nothing but ash. The trees still standing around them, still with leaves on them, a lot of them. And of course, the blue plastic wheelie bins that somehow haven't been affected and haven't melted or anything like that. Same scenario, folks, directed energy weapons. Of course, the UN, the Secretary of the UN, is blaming fossil fuels.
Climate crisis that is ravaging and savaging our world. Look no further than the hills of Los Angeles. It has gone from the home of disaster movies to a scene of disaster. Who pays the price for climate destruction around the world? Not the fossil fuel industry, pocketing profits and taxpayer subsidies as their products wreak havoc. Every people suffer with their lives and livelihoods, with higher insurance premiums, volatile energy bills, and higher food prices.
Yeah, of course it's fossil fuels, folks. It's nothing to do with the planned destruction of LA. It's nothing to do with the water reservoir being empty, the fire hydrants being empty, complete and deliberate mismanagement by the new DEI fire department. Nothing to do with that. It's to do with fossil fuels, which aren't even fossil fuels.
Hey Americans, did you actually know that the state of California itself contributes a total of $610 million, $610 million of taxpayer money to Israel every year? And this is the most out of every single state in the US. With the city of LA itself contributing a total of $50 million from the taxpayers' money to Israel per year. And this is the most out of every single city in California. While the city of LA, the same city, just recently cut a total of $17 million from the Los Angeles Fire Department. Do you want me to repeat that for you again? I think it's worth a repeat. California, state of California, sends $610 million to Israel every year. The city of Los Angeles sends $50 million out of these $610 million to Israel. The city of Los Angeles has just recently cut $17 million from the fire department fund. Yeah, but I'm too concerned about the Islam taking over the US.
This is what contempt looks like for the lesbian black DEI mayor of Los Angeles that has appointed DEI incompetence to almost every senior position, including the fire chief. This is how a state and society is destroyed that largely white men built and directed over generations. Keep it up, America, and you soon won't have a nation, let alone a life.
Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them? Do you think you should have been visiting Ghana while this was unfolding back home?
This is the leadership of the LA Fire Department. I sure hope they know what they're doing. Here's the fire chief.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
That just kind of opens the door of people that thought, wow, I didn't even know that that was an opportunity for me.
So while her department was sending equipment to Ukraine, the chief was marching in pride parades, which is fine. Have all the pride you want, but you better make sure you're ready to do your job when it counts. LA County Fire Department fired a ton of men who refused to get vaccinated. Bet they could have used those men today. In fact, California has a program to scrub white males from the fire department. Adam Carolla says he tried to apply to be a firefighter in L.A. once, but they told him to go to the back of the line.
I want to talk about my white privilege so badly. I could not find a job. I walked to a fire station in North Hollywood. I was 19. I was living in the garage of my family home. My mom was on welfare and food stamps. And I said, can I get a job as a fireman? And they said, no, because you're not black, Hispanic, or a woman. We'll see in about 7 years.
Yeah, remarkable, folks. Remarkable. And of course, they want to build a smart city. Gavin Newsom is already, you know, ecstatic about the whole thing, about how they're going to rebuild the place.
We're dealing with a myriad of issues. I was just talking to Josh Green, the governor down in Hawaii, who had some ideas around some land use concerns he has around speculators coming in, buying up properties, and the like. So we're already working with our legal teams to move those things forward, and we'll be presenting those in a matter of days, not just weeks.
All part of the plan, folks. It's always been part of the plan. Beautiful day here in Mexico again. And it's been a couple of weeks since I brought you a video report as well, one of my own. I did an interview a week or so ago and posted that. I've been really caught up with packing stuff up and moving. I've got to move out of the place that I'm in before the end of the month. And I've got so much stuff to work out, so I've been kind of busy doing that. It's going to be kind of touch and go with videos over the next couple of weeks. Even like for the next 7 or 8 weeks, I've got some big changes happening in my life. So I'll just bring you videos when I can, when I'm able. But I don't know how frequently that's going to be. But like I said, there's a lot of other people that are bringing you information anyway, and there's plenty to catch up on. But the fires in LA have been kind of taking the main stage with a lot of people, and understandably, because it's been absolutely horrendous, the fires in LA. It really has. You know, we got the Trump inauguration happening in the next couple of days as well, I think, possibly even today or tomorrow, on this weekend, I think, possibly. But pretty soon, and right on cue, we've seen a ceasefire called in Gaza. Some arrangement has been made to deliver some of the Israeli hostages back, and they're going to release a whole bunch of Palestinian civilians. Of course, they're saying it's terrible because we're releasing cutthroats and murderers. Well, no, you're not. You're releasing civilians. Those that haven't been raped to death or tortured to death. So many Palestinians have been detained. I mean, there's been a policy going on in Israel, and a policy for the soldiers that go into Gaza to just shoot any males that they see and then label them as Hamas terrorists. This is just what they've been doing for the whole time. They've been kidnapping and torturing these people. Kidnapped the doctor I showed you on the last report. The doctor who surrendered himself to the tank. And since the ceasefire has been called and has been agreed upon, Israel has dramatically increased its bombing campaigns. So it's like 3 days, I think, Sunday, the ceasefire comes into effect, probably midnight Sunday, and you will see Israel intensely bombing Gaza until that time. Last time there was any type of conflict like this, I mean, there hasn't really been one like this. This has been the worst one we've seen. But back in 2014, when there was a pretty major conflict, when the ceasefire was declared, Israel bombed Gaza right up until the stroke of midnight, and then they stopped. And we've seen the same thing. I mean, Israel's been going in there bombing tent cities, just bringing as much havoc as they can to the Palestinian people. And the same in Lebanon. I mean, there was a ceasefire in Lebanon, and yet we've seen the Israelis just going hell for leather with Lebanon. They haven't stopped bombing the place. They're bombing civilian apartment buildings in the middle of the night.
As Turkey sent its proxy forces from Idlib into the rest of Syria, led by Abu Mohammed al-Julani, a former right-hand man of sectarian killers Zarqawi and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, Israel began to steal more Syrian land. During the carving up of Syria, Israel has occupied land three times the size of Gaza and dropped over 1,800 bombs on the country. All this transpired to the sound of silence from al-Julani and Erdogan. The only possible conclusion we can reach is that there was Turkish coordination with Israel over the division of Syria. Of course, we know, thanks to an article written by Mossad agent Elizabeth Turkov in Foreign Policy, that 12 of the Syrian rebel groups, including Julani's Jabhat al-Nusra, were directly funded by Israel. But when we examine Turkish collusion over Israel over Gaza, a more sinister angle emerges. It has been exposed that at least 4,000 Turkish citizens have fought in the Israeli occupation forces during the genocide in Gaza. Another more disturbing part of the story is how the Turkish state and even those close to Erdogan have directly profited from the killing of Gaza. Israeli company Dorad Energy supplies electricity to Israeli military bases. The second largest shareholder in the firm is Zolu Holding, headed by Erdogan's close friend Ahmet Nassif Zolu. The much-vaunted Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan pipeline continued to supply 40% of Israel's oil, running directly through Turkey. This could have been cut off at any time, but Erdogan repeatedly refused. Erdogan even comically claimed at one point that he ended Turkey's $10 billion a year trade with Israel. It was lies, as Turkish ships continued heading to Israel, pretending to go to Port Said in Egypt, but diverting to Haifa. Or Turkish ships switched off transponders and then docked at Ashdod. The son of a former Turkish prime minister exposed Erdogan on live TV, asserting that Erdogan labels exports as destined for Palestine, but actually sends them to Israel. Turkey's trade data with Israel shows that exports dropped to zero, but its exports to Palestine increased 10 to 15 times. It was also exposed that even Turkish weapons were sold to Israel in January 2024. During the genocide, the Zionist liars in Istanbul then claimed the weapons were merely for hunting, not military, only for videos to emerge from Gaza showing Turkish military gear. When generations to come ask who sold Palestine and Syria, point to Istanbul.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be a ceasefire with Lebanon, but they don't care, they're just buying anyway. And even with what's going on in Gaza, a ceasefire has been declared. It's not really worth the paper that it's written on, because of course Israel won't abide by the ceasefire. Israel will find another excuse to go in there and bomb more people, let off more weapons. I wonder if we're going to have too much music in the secret garden today. We'll just see how we go, folks. I'm sorry about all the doof-doof music there's been in here. It's been kind of disconcerting, but that's just the way it goes. But we're going to see Israel break this ceasefire. Israel always breaks the ceasefires, creates some excuse to do it. A lot of people as well in Israel really do not want the ceasefire.
All these people here are here to tell Bibi Netanyahu and Donald Trump, who will, thank God, take office in about a week, that they do not want any deals that will require Israel to release terrorists or withdraw unconditionally from Gaza. We want to win this war, and we're going to be in it till the end.
The agreement with Hamas is making progress, and it's a very bad agreement that does not return everyone at one time. And whoever is left behind is in a life-threatening situation.
And this terrorist is a terrorist that once it's going to be released if we sign this deal. We can't have people like this walking around, whether it's Gaza, Israel, Europe, I don't care where. These terrorists need to be either killed or in a cell for the rest of their life.
We're at a strong point now. We need to get, if we're going to go to a deal with Hamas, we need to do it out of a position of strength. And not a position of weakness. He and hundreds of others went out to fight, and he was married for a year, and he didn't think about not his family or his wife, just about his duty to go and protect us, and he knew that it may cost his life, and it did. And we all are here, and we know the pain that of losing a loved one, and we want to make sure that this thing can never happen again, and to finish off what he went out to do.
Yeah, they just want to keep the war going, folks. I mean, that's what Israel thrives on, war. And they just love this shit. So, yeah. Open the gate here, folks. Yeah, but Israel loves this shit. They just love the wars. They're threatening Turkey now. I told you they would. And they're also threatening Egypt, as I told you they would. They're saying Egypt has broken the treaty and it's acting aggressively. And that's not really true. I mean, what Israel is, or what Egypt is doing, is it's going and reinforcing its defenses in the Sinai. Israel is saying this is an act of aggression against Israel. Hang on, they're setting up border defenses in their own country. And Israel sees this as an act of aggression. Does that mean Israel is planning to invade Egypt and they don't like them doing things to counter that invasion? Well, of course they do. But they're saying, you know, any military activity at all in the Sinai is a breach of the treaty, and they have the right to go in there and stop Egypt in what it's doing. Again, it's just securing defences within its own borders. And Israel has already broken that treaty, because Israel has been operating in the Philadelphia corridor in Sinai. And, you know, just acting aggressively the whole time. Of course, Israel's excuse is, oh, we're doing this to protect ourselves against Gaza Strip. You know, they just cook up whatever story they want, folks, to support their narrative. But Israel's threatening Turkey, threatening Egypt, still bombing Lebanon, still bombing Syria as well. What's going on in Syria is horrendous, folks, absolutely horrendous. We're told that they've brought freedom to the world in Syria, These HTS rebels that are totally Western-backed and approved by the US government and Israel as liberating Syria from Assad, they're just driving around killing people, just shooting random civilians on the road. So that's what's going on there. I mean, they're reducing the entire Middle East to rubble and destruction and death and just brutality. What Israel does best, calls itself the most moral army in the world, it's actually the most immoral army in the world, the most immoral force the world has ever known. I mean, if Judaism wasn't bad enough, well, you've got Zionism, Judaic Zionism, which is just unbelievably bad. What's going on here? We've lost our palapa. They've pulled this little shelter down. That's interesting. I guess they're going to rebuild it. Interesting. A lot of work going on here at the Secret Garden, folks. Putting a table out here by the look of things. A lot of work going on out here in the Secret Garden. This is, of course, where Anarchapulco will be held. And I'm really looking forward to that, folks. Some great speakers this year, and it's going to be a nice little reprieve in the middle of all the shit that I'm going through in my life, moving and all the other shit I'm doing. So it's going to be good. But yeah, 2 weeks since I brought you a video, and hasn't it been crazy? You know, all of this stuff, the LA fires. There's another fire actually going on in Northern California now as well. I think it's Moss Landing or something like that it's called. Moss something or other. But it's a lithium battery factory has caught fire in Northern California. They burned out Southern California, and now they're blanketing Northern California with some of the most toxic fumes. I mean, lithium batteries. This lithium battery factory has caught fire, and it's a major catastrophe for Northern California. You'll see all sorts of people coming down with illnesses from this, and they'll probably tell you it's COVID or something like that. They're doing that in Southern California too, actually, like with all the LA fires. And LA pretty much looks like Gaza now. Remember, I've said so many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. Well, we're kind of seeing that in LA. When really, of course, it's deliberately done, and it's a big land reclamation act that they're really doing. They want to create this smart city. They want to set up for the Olympic Games in 2028. And this is the perfect way to do it. Just burn the whole place out and then start afresh. Build the new thing that you want. That's the way they do it, folks. Build back better, burn back better. That's the way it's going. But what's happening there, they've been spraying fire retardant all over the place, this horrible red dust that they let out of planes. And because this spraying's been going on, we've seen all sorts of people going and admitting themselves to hospital with respiratory problems because of the fire retardant they've been breathing. And of course, the doctors are telling them that they've got COVID. You can't make this shit up, folks. I mean, that's what they do. And it's just outrageous. So you've got these fires in Northern California, the fires in Southern California. Well, you've got the chemical fire in Northern California, the fires in Southern California. You've got everything still going on in North Carolina as well, where people are literally freezing to death through the winter. It's interesting, like half of the country's on fire and the other half of the country's frozen. An interesting look for the United States. And while this has been going on, you've got this whole Trump inauguration going on. Trump saying he wants to annex Greenland. It just doesn't stop, folks. Annex Greenland, he's talking about going down and securing control of the Panama Canal as well, and even talking about possibly bringing Mexico into the fold. I don't think the Mexicans are going to want to do that. He's talking about annexing Canada, of course, as well. So, you know, Trump wants Canada, Greenland, and Mexico, and basically Central America, control of Central America, down to as far as the Panama Canal. Because saying he wants to secure control of the Panama Canal, now he wants to secure control of Central America, is what he wants to do. You know, you can't make this shit up, folks. And while that's going on, you've had Justin Castro, actually resign. And everyone's cheering it on and saying this is a great thing. Although he's still in there telling people what to do. I guess they haven't put a new guy in place yet, so he's got to continue running the government, even though he's resigned. And the new guy, Povier or something like that, that they say is going to be put in there, is more Zionist than Trudeau.
It's a pretty big honor for a simple guy from the prairies to stand before you today.
Yeah, that should be very confidence-inspiring for people. I'm just a simple goy from the prairie. I mean, who gets up there and calls themselves a simple goy? And if that didn't show you who's in control of the world, there'll be more synagogue attacks in Australia as well. Some house got firebombed. They're saying this was an attempt on this guy's life. They firebombed the house he used to live in. Hang on. If he used to live there, then they weren't attacking him, were they? They didn't attempt to kill him or anything like that because he doesn't live there anymore. Perhaps it was he who firebombed his own house just to create sympathy for the cause. And you've got the opposition leader, Peter Dutton, just riding on the wave of this, saying all of the anti-Semitism in Australia is the result of Albo's actions, yeah, Anthony Albanese. But they're not saying, no, it's actually the result of Israel's actions. I mean, Israel has revealed itself to the whole world. It's never going to get the sympathy that it once had, no matter what the outcome of this conflict in Gaza, no matter what the outcome of what's going on in the Middle East. Everyone can see what it's doing. Everyone can see what Israel's doing to Syria. They can see what Israel's doing to Lebanon. They can see what it's done to Gaza and what it continues to do to Gaza. And not just Gaza, West Bank as well. They can see what's going on. I can see it's now threatening Egypt. Israel has revealed itself as being a terrorist state, the pariah of the world. There was Israel who carried out attacks against the USS Liberty. We're told this is a conspiracy theory. No, it's not. It's the truth. It was Israel that carried out the attacks on 9/11, the Twin Towers. It was Israel who saw to the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Israel is not the friend of the United States. It's an infiltrator, and it controls the US government. And as I've said before, when you look at the extremist government of Netanyahu, you realize that is now extended. So it now controls all of the US government as well. This is a very dangerous situation for the world. But a lot of people are waking up to it. A lot of people are seeing what's going on. And it's an interesting thing as well with the war stopping. Well, it's not a war. The genocide stopping, the ceasefire coming into effect. You know, there's been Ben-Gavir has actually quit the government. That other sadist as well, what's his name, Beelzebub Smoker Dick, he thinks that he might resign as well. See, none of these people want the conflict to stop. They all want the slaughter to continue under the pretext of wanting the hostages rescued. It was never about hostages. None of this was ever about hostages. I showed you that interview that I did with Matt Girton where he showed you that most of the Hamas footage from October the 7th is actually AI created. This was always about going in and ethnically cleansing Gaza Strip and provoking conflict with Lebanon, provoking conflict with Syria, and of course now with Egypt. You know, this has all been very predictable. This is stuff that I said way back at the beginning when they started doing this, folks, that was the plan. But of course, you know, you're not hearing anything about it because everything's so controlled. I mean, the head of the BBC, the Middle Eastern head of the BBC is actually been revealed as a Mossad operative, and that's who's bringing the Middle Eastern news out to the British public, folks. Mossad news. They control so much stuff, folks. It's incredible. And they say they're not a cult. I saw a great thumbnail on a video that someone posted the other day, so I thought I'd steal their thumbnail. But it's a very descriptive thumbnail, don't you think? I mean, you know, sure, folks, we're not a cult. We just look like this. And it's just nuts. You know, and what they've done is unforgivable, what they've done in the Middle East, what they've done in Gaza Strip. Now, children now, like little children, they hear a bomb and they just instantly start crying. It's horrific what's been done to these kids, folks. 25% of the children in Gaza Strip have lost the ability to speak. They're just too traumatized. 41% of the kids in Gaza Strip have become introverted. It's psychological warfare, and it's how Israel's created this whole situation. See, Israel's created the enemy it needs in Hamas. Whether Hamas was put in place by Israel, whether it's controlled by Israel, you know, what is Hamas? Like I've said, you know, sure, it was put in place, and I'm sure the heads of Hamas are absolutely controlled by Israel. I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually Jews. You know, the actual head of Hamas lives in Qatar anyway. He's not even there in the conflict zone. And that was the same when they killed Sinwar and the guy before him. They killed two heads of Hamas. None of them actually lived in Gaza Strip. They all lived in Qatar, although Sinwar was killed in Gaza Strip, so that's interesting. But the new guy lives in Qatar. But a lot of the kids on the ground join Hamas because they perceive Hamas to be a legitimate resistance. And if you look at that concept, that Hamas is simply a name for a legitimate resistance against Israeli occupation, then you see how it is Israel who has created and fostered Hamas. And they've created their own enemy. You know, three simple steps, folks. You send a bomb in and you bomb a family home. You kill the parents and siblings. You leave one child alive. That child crawls out of the ruins, and the first thing it wants to do is pick up a slingshot, pick up a rock, and start throwing rocks at the Israelis. And when that child grows up, it can think of nothing but getting revenge for the murder of its parents and its family. This is how Israel's done it. You go in, you traumatize enough families, enough civilian families, and the kids that grow up want to be rebels. They know this is their all they know of life. They were born into this war zone. They were born into captivity in Gaza Strip, living in this place 25 miles long, 4.5 miles wide, with a wall around it that Israel claims we gave them autonomy. Yeah, but you put a wall around the country and you control every aspect of everything that goes in or out. You even control the fishermen. If they go more than 0.5 mile offshore, you send your gunboats around to strafe their fishing vessels. You know, so kids have grown up into this. There's kids that have been living in this war state since birth. I mean, it's 20 years now they've had Gaza under siege. 20 frickin' years this place has been under blockade. So you've got kids there that are 15, 16 years old. All they've known is bombs and war and Israeli abuse. And the Israeli abuse is ridiculous. I mean, they just go around and terrorize these children at every opportunity. terrorize children, terrorize family homes, steal family homes, just send random bombs over there, make any excuse they can to create a conflict. So they're virtually creating Hamas. They're creating their own enemy because they need that enemy so they can go in and claim they're all terrorists and they need to go in and genocide the whole place. They just won't stop attacking us. Oh my God, why would they be attacking us? Couldn't be because we bombed their family and killed all their relatives and we've had them under blockade for the last 20 years and have been controlling every aspect of their lives and destroying everything it means to be a Palestinian. I mean, imagine being a Palestinian child, folks. Imagine what life would be like. Great little animation, and it really depicts what it would be like to be a kid in Gaza. You know, the West cannot imagine what these people have been through, and they are a shining light to the international community about what real resistance looks like. And a lot of people say, well, why don't they just leave? Well, why should they? It's their land. And with the amount of people that have been killed and brutalized, I mean, like I said, you've got kids growing up thinking, well, you know, my parents died to defend this land. So what, should I just pack up and leave now and become a refugee in a foreign country? Because if I do that, my parents died for nothing. My brother died for nothing. All the people who died fighting for the Palestinian cause died for nothing. And the Palestinian people respect their relatives, they respect their heritage, they respect their people too much for them to ever let that happen. Bit of a chainsaw gun over there, folks. Yeah, I just thought I'd wait for that chainsaw to finish, so. Yeah, but they respect their heritage, they respect their parents too much for them to just pack up and leave now. And people cannot understand what they've been through. But like I said, they serve as a shining light for the rest of the world, they really do. This is what resistance really looks like, folks. And with everything that's going on, I mean, the fires in LA, getting back to that. Why don't they just put them out? Why don't they just bring the rain and put them out? Of course, they can't do that, can they? But they can, folks. That's the thing. I mean, that's how you know all this is contrived. They can control the weather. I've shown you before, when the Australian fires were happening, there was that Australian company, Acquiesce, who basically said they used their company to put out the fires in Australia on Ash Wednesday or Black Saturday or whatever it was. They give these special names to these occasions. But they use this weather control company to come and put out the fires. These weather control companies exist. Look what they did in Dubai recently. They were controlling the weather. They flooded the whole place out. I mean, this is the desert. And they flooded the whole place out. And they admit that they used weather control to do it, cloud seeding to do it. So, and they've done this so many times. I mean, it's in the papers sometimes. They tell you, yes, we're cloud seeding. We brought rain, blah, blah, blah. And they tell you all this stuff. And then when you've got a major fire going on, they say, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't control the weather. But yet they just told you that they could previous weekend in the Sunday paper, you know. So people just don't remember. People have this incredibly short memory for things like this. This chainsaw is really freaking annoying me. Okay, well, that might be better. Let's just see how we go. Lost track of what I was talking about. But yeah, they can control the weather, folks. And like I said, there's this weather company an Australian weather company acquiesce, it even admits that that's what they did.
If we bring in the oceanic rain, we can deliver timely rain in a gentle soaking manner into agricultural targets.
Technology relies on a signal that we're able to generate that triggers a response from atmospheric patterns. So we're able to observe this using satellite meteorology, extensively available now to everyone who's got access to broadband internet. But we're able to utilize that signal sent in sequence to generate a incremental deviation in the flow path of these oceanic atmospheric rivers. So the source is the ocean, of course. The vapor, precipitable moisture flow is in the atmosphere. The winds drive this with the pressure systems adjusting the path of least resistance. But our technology is able to interface that and hack into it, if you like, and make some micro adjustments to allow deviations to occur in the flow pathways. And this is how we broke the drought in Australia in 2005. This is how we put out the fires of Victoria from Black Saturday in 2009. This is how we put out the fires of Victoria from Black Saturday in 2009. This is how we delivered rain in the desert in Saudi Arabia in 2007 and snow for the first time in history in 2004 in the United Arab Emirates. There's been other projects above the radar and some under the radar. But today, for the first time, we're putting our hand up in front of the media to say this is available.
We use a very gentle but powerful technology, launching electromagnetics into the atmosphere to modify the flow of the weather system over the ocean and drawing it into a target.
Yeah, so they can do it, folks. That's how you know all this is deliberate. Now, you can't tell me that, you know, while they're expecting the Olympic Games, while they're wanting to turn LA into a smart city, there just happens to be this fire, you know, and Tom Hanks' house survives, and James Woods' house survives, and I mentioned on an interview that I did on The Missing Link a week or two ago that what evidence did they cover up? I mean, all these people are connected to P. Diddy, they're all connected to Epstein. What evidence were they covering up with these fires? You know, was there some sort of a tunnel system beneath the place? I mean, you know, we know that there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. And the fact that the trees aren't burned, it's supposed to be a forest fire, and yet none of the forest around the houses is burned. It's just the houses. And blue plastic wheelie bins have survived. It's the same scenario, folks. I mean, and they're, of course, blaming fossil fuels and, you know, the same old scenario, folks. So we're having a bit of a lull at the moment. Bit of a lull before the storm. You know, weather weapons all over the place. I think I mentioned before, massive storms in Australia, in Brisbane. Hailstones the size of eggs are falling on people's houses and people's cars. And these things do an incredible amount of damage, folks. A couple of years ago, like in 2020, they had hailstones that were literally the size of your fist landing in Australia as well. Remarkable stuff, folks. Remarkable stuff. So weather wars happening all over the world. And this is a whole new form of warfare, folks. It's kind of unprecedented. I mean, how do you fight back against weather weapons? It's very, very difficult to do because, you know, people don't even realize that they're real, but they are. And, you know, you do what you can to set your line of defense, and you can even buy up on bullets and food and whatever you want to do that you think you're going to need to survive the onset of the New World Order. But then suddenly they hit you with a weather weapon and the whole place floods out. I mean, what do? Look at this sculpture, folks. It's like a winged fish of some kind, like a snake fish. Interesting little carving. That wasn't there before. Interesting how they do this stuff, just carve that out of this log here. Quite remarkable, because I think that's actually the same piece of wood as what it's sitting on. It's a great place. I'm going to miss doing walk and talks here, folks. It's been a little noisy the last couple of months, but it's still been good. And I'm going to miss doing the walking talks here. It's such a beautiful environment, the Secret Garden. I've still got a couple more in before I move out of the area. But I am going to miss the place. It's a beautiful place. But yeah, we're in a kind of a lull at the moment. Like, we've got the Trump inauguration happening. The ceasefire in Gaza. You've got to wonder what's going to happen to Bibi through all this, Bibi Netanyahu. I mean, he's been facing corruption charges for quite a while. He's been trying to avoid the court cases and all that sort of stuff. Donald Trump actually tweeted a couple of things, or he reposted a couple of tweets, saying that what a nasty guy Bibi Netanyahu was, basically, which is interesting because he's kind of crawled up his butthole for most of the election. But now he's sort of coming out and saying that he's not a really particularly nice person. You've got to wonder whether they're going to hang Bibi out to dry. I mean, they do this. I mean, that's the problem, I guess, they have with their cartel. This cabal that runs the world is, yeah, you can be part of the cabal, but you've got to toe the line. And if it's beneficial to us, we're liable to throw you away at any moment because it's all about the greater good. So you got to wonder, I mean, with everyone up in arms about Israel, like I said, it's going to be very difficult for Israel to ever gain any credibility again. Now, a lot of people are not going to forget what Israel has done. Interesting, Mask of Tutankhamun. Not what you'd really expect to see in Mexico, but there it is. Yeah, but a lot of people aren't going to forget what Israel's done over the last 15 months. So how do you alleviate that? How do you get some sort of control of the situation back in place? How do you get people to view Israel through more favorable eyes? Well, a good way to do it would be to blame the whole situation on the evil Benjamin Netanyahu, and to have people like Ben-Gavir and Beelzebub Smokerdick quit from office, and Bibi Netanyahu actually get arrested on corruption charges. Perhaps they would even take it so far as to take him to The Hague and let him get hung for war crimes. Because if they do something like that, then it's going to make the world think that, yes, the legal system works and there are good people in there who are trying to do the right thing. And then, of course, all it will take will be some Israeli operative to launch a Qassam rocket from Gaza Strip, and Israel will go in there and continue its genocide. You know, and they're not releasing all the hostages either, like 33 hostages being released. 33, of course it's 33. But apparently there's another 65 hostages still in there, and they're saying we want them released as well. But of course, they're great bargaining chips for the next conflict, great excuse for the next conflict. And yeah, you've already heard Hamas, you know, controlled Hamas spokesman going in there, we're going to continue, we're going to do another October the 7th. So they're kind of saying, we don't want the conflict to end, because of course they're all Israeli operatives. It's all working towards the same goal, which is this whole New World Order and Greater Israel. But a good way to do that, and a good way to kind of get away with it, would be to hang someone like Bibi Netanyahu out to dry. So you got to wonder, is that the plan? Is that what they're going to do? Aircraft. A little noisy today here, folks. Pumps and aircraft and chainsaws and whatever. It's beautiful though, isn't it? This is a nice little retreat area here. Interesting to see how they incorporate this little place into the conference. I'm sure they'll have whatever going on out here, massages or who knows, whatever they'll do, folks. It looks like it's a lot of butterfly examination that's going on here by the board there and stuff like that. So, but yeah, there's a carving of a bird over there. It's like a carving of an eagle. Interesting place, folks. I'd like to know who does all these carvings. A lot of new carvings just springing up around the place. But yeah, are they possibly going to throw Benjamin Netanyahu out to dry? So they really want to paint Trump as the savior. And there's too many people awake now to Israel's genocide. Like I said, Israel's never going to recover. It's never going to have the respect that it once had. They say the rise in anti-Semitism around the world is hundreds of percent, you know, 700% rise in anti-Semitism in Australia, for example. You know, all these pro-Hamas people, well, they're not pro-Hamas, they're anti-genocide, and Israel is responsible for this. I mean, Bibi Netanyahu's done more damage to Israel than any other president in history. He's absolutely destroyed Israel's international reputation. Well, his government has, the Knesset has, but again, 85% of the people in Israel actually support what's going on. You know, you could just go onto Google and Google 61% of Israeli men and see what the results are. What it will tell you is that 61% of Israeli men believe that it's okay to have sex with an acquaintance. Having sex with an acquaintance is not rape. You know, as long as you don't do it on the first time, you go out and maybe take a girl out one night, you meet a girl. If you meet her again on a second night and you rape her, it's not rape. That's the way they consider it. 65% of Israeli men think that it's okay for Israel to rape prisoners. I mean, there were huge protests, protesting their right to rape the Palestinian prisoners. And like I said, a lot of the prisoners, a lot of the men that get detained by Israel die on the first day, because they anally rape them with metal batons for hours on end until they kill them. Can you imagine how painful that would be? I mean, what a way to go, being raped to death with a metal baton to the point that you've got spinal damage and you just collapse on the floor and die. I mean, this is what they do. It's horrendous what they do, folks. The tunnels through Brooklyn, I mean, child sacrifice. Bearing in mind that the Israeli star is not the Star of David, it's the Star of Ramphan. Look, in the Bible, the Star of David isn't even mentioned, but the Star of Ramphan is. Star of Ramphan is also associated with Moloch, which is associated with child sacrifice. That's what these people do. You've got to understand, so with Israel losing the enormous amount of respect that it has around the world, I mean, everyone's questioning the Holocaust now, everyone's questioning anything that comes from Israel. Everyone knows that you can't believe anything they say. Whatever they say, the truth lies in the opposite direction. And every accusation is actually a confession. And they lie about everything, absolutely everything. And a lot of people are seeing this now, so how do you combat that? You're not going to be able to do it militarily, but like I said, if you perhaps blame it all on the Netanyahu extremist government, and then you hang Netanyahu out to dry, well, perhaps that would bring about a little bit of stability. Perhaps people will start respecting Israel again. You know, I doubt it. I mean, I think a lot of people will see through it. And even if they do that, I mean, if they arrested Benjamin Netanyahu and took him to The Hague, would they really hang him? Or would they just put a double up there or someone in a mask and hang them, and then Bibi Netanyahu goes off to, you know, share his time on somewhere like Epstein Island, you know, wherever it is these people go so they continue to rape children, you know, Argentina or whatever, you know. So, and nothing against the Argentinians by saying that. But, you know, you've got to wonder how much of it will be theatre, but it wouldn't surprise me if they plan on doing something like that, because it would suit the narrative for them to do so. Would give Israel a little bit of a reprieve. But I'm really so happy that there is a ceasefire in Gaza, for the moment anyway. A tentative ceasefire. Sorry, folks, itchy nose. And, a tentative ceasefire, but again, it's not going to last, because they never do, because Israel won't allow it to last. Israel will continue to cry victim and indignation at how dare they take our hostages, how heartbroken we are that people have suffered. Meanwhile, what they've done to Gaza Strip, killed hundreds of thousands of people. You know, they say, oh, the figures are 45,000. No, it's way more than that. There's some estimates of 180,000, other estimates of 300,000 people killed in Gaza. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's how high it is. It wouldn't surprise me if it's actually higher than that. Again, they've destroyed all the hospitals, and the only way you're able to measure the death count is by those who died in hospitals, getting death certificates for these people. But the amount of people who are buried under rubble, the amount of people who've been thrown into mass graves or just disappeared and taken off and raped by Israel, I mean, who knows what the real number is, folks. But even, like I said before, even whatever the number is, the fact that 25% of the children in Gaza have literally lost the ability to speak, they're terrified. They're bombing schools again. Yeah, there's no reason to be bombing these kids. And as soon as they hear one bomb go off, they're just terrified. They've had 490 days of bombs going off around the clock, 24 hours a day. 85,000 tons worth of bombs Israel has dropped on the Gaza Strip. Leveled the whole place. There's very, very few buildings that are still standing. There are some areas where there's buildings still standing, but mostly it's just destruction. Bombing tent cities now in the middle of the night, no reason to do so, claiming there's Hamas operatives there. I mean, they're creating Hamas operatives. They're creating Hamas through their bombing campaigns and just destroying civilians and families. They're turning everybody into the resistance, because what else have they got left other than to resist the occupation? And how can they ever forgive the Israelis for what they've done? The Israelis say, we can never forgive the Palestinians for what they've done. Well, even if the Israeli story is true, it was only 1,000 Palestinians that went through and kidnapped 1,200 Israelis. What about the over 10,000 Palestinians they hold in captivity in prisons and torture them daily? They kept one kid in solitary confinement for 4 years. 4 years. 15 days is a war crime. 2 weeks is the maximum you're allowed to keep someone in solitary confinement. And that's brutal. 2 weeks in solitary. They kept this one kid in solitary for 4 years. 4 years. And he was a kid. He was like 10 years old or something when he went in there. Came out full psychosis, you know, schizophrenia, just completely mind-fucked because of what they've done to him. This is what they do. You know, they are the cruelest, most despicable people on earth, and they always claim morality. So they can claim all this stuff, claim they're heartbroken, claim that people shouldn't be hurt this way and children suffered and blah, blah, blah. You can't make any of these claims with the genocide that you're riding on. You know, the fact that you've killed so many people in Gaza. And sure, you haven't killed them all. So you'll say, well, it isn't genocide, we didn't kill them all. But you've made conditions unlivable. You've made it, destroyed all the homes, destroyed all the buildings. There's nothing for these people to go back to. This is genocide by definition. Genocide takes many forms, folks. Now, Palestinians aren't even able to claim they're Palestinians. You know, they say there are no Palestinians. You guys are just Arabs. Look at that little root over there. Can you see that root there with a little face and a beard? Quite remarkable, folks, when they come up with stuff like this. Sorry, I get sidetracked. But, you know, Palestinians are forbidden to even claim they're Palestinians. They're forbidden to use the word. They're forbidden to claim it's their land or anything. I mean, this is ethnic cleansing. The whole thing is ethnic cleansing, folks. Everything Israel does is ethnic cleansing. It's all genocide, the whole thing. Look at this little thing. This is cool, huh? Little bearded man here. Yeah, so Israel can claim that it's not, but, you know, just look at the state of Gaza Strip. Look at what it was and look at what it is now. This is genocide. Yes, this is ethnic cleansing. So yeah, it's good that we've got a little bit of a reprieve, and I'm so happy that the bombs have stopped for the moment. Well, they will be stopping in two more days on Sunday. I hope they haven't killed too many people by then, because like I said, Israel is really ramping up the bombing campaign, because I know they have to stop soon. People will say, well, this is because of the threat that Trump made, so Hamas has decided to come to the table. It's all theater. It's all planned, folks. Like I said, the head ruling sections of Hamas and Israel, it's all the one thing. These people are joined at the hip, folks. So we're not going to see too much come of this. It'll just be a little reprieve for the Trump inauguration, and then they'll work it out and they'll find a way to keep it going. Chainsaw's still going in here. Okay, we might go out the other way, folks. But I think that's about all I wanted to bring you anyway. I got a lot of work to do, sort of packing up and all the shit I'm doing at the house, folks. So I got to try to get back to that and keep these videos short. So that's kind of the plan for the day anyway. I just wanted to sort of come on and let you know I'm alive, give you a bit of an opinion about a few things. Like I said, I don't really need to cover the fires. There's a lot of stuff I don't really need to cover, because a lot of other people have been covering it. Like I said, if you want to find out a lot of the good details about the fires, a lot of the juicy stuff. Go and check out Jeff Berwick's latest video. It was very good. What have we got going on here? We've got a pump going on over here. Just doesn't stop the noise, folks. Look at this little pussycat down here. Little puss down here. How you doing, matey? How you doing? Hey. Friendly little guy. But yeah, Jeff's last video on the fires was really good, folks, so I recommend going checking that out. I've got a lot on, like I said, the next couple of weeks, so I'm going to be so busy. But I will bring you some more videos. It's about maybe 7 or 8 days now I've got left to move out of the house, and I've still got an enormous amount of bath stock and things there I've got to get real. A lot of residual shit that I didn't arrive in Mexico with, but that's just the way it goes. So I've got a lot to work out. And I will be able to bring you some more videos soon. Again, this is where Anacapulco is going to be held, folks. The phoenix rising from the ashes. And there's the ashes there. But, yeah, this is where the conference is. This is where they put all the seats and they put the stage over there and bit of a backstage area, and all the restaurants and stuff are all through there. It's really cool, folks. So I'm looking forward to that. Again, if you haven't got a ticket yet, there's still a couple. You could go to the link below and get yourself a ticket. You can always use my name, Egan, as the coupon and get yourself a 10% discount. And for those people interested in the Tesla machine, you can do the same thing with the Tesla machine, folks. I've been having great success with this machine, I've got to say. I was a little skeptical at first, but it definitely seems to be improving my well-being. And anybody that I've tried it on, like with Bruce's leg and this friend of mine's Bell's palsy and a whole bunch of stuff, I mean, it seems to be doing a lot of good stuff. I still haven't heard back from the girl with myocarditis. She's got to go and get a test to see her. It costs like $250 to go and get tested, so it's when she can afford to do that. But I'm hoping for some good feedback on that as well. Hola. Hoping for some good feedback on that as well. But if you are interested in getting one, folks, one of these Tesla machines, again, you can use my coupon, Egan, and get yourself $500 off. Maybe it's $600 now. I don't know. I'd have to see what it is. I think the price of them went up $1,000 or something. So maybe you'll get a bigger discount. I'm not sure. But yeah, you can do that. And thanks to all the people who continue to tune in. Thanks to all the people who send me kind emails. People who are waiting for interviews. I can't do any interviews at the moment, folks. I've got my microphone packed up, my camera packed up. I'm just working on a little laptop at the moment. Still waiting to get my big computer back. It's just outrageous. It's been like 4 months. And I'm still trying to get that back. And I'm sort of half packed up and I'm moving shit out of the house and it's just crazy at the moment, so I can't do any interviews at all. I'm probably not likely to be able to do any interviews until maybe even March, maybe mid-March, maybe before then. Maybe I'll get a chance to do some in early February, maybe late February, but I'm not really looking at any until around about March, I'm sorry. For those people that are waiting, I just can't get it together. I've got too much other stuff on, and like I said, most of my equipment's actually packed up at the moment. It's in suitcases and stuff, being put into storage for a little while I'm working out what my moves are, which is an interesting thing to be doing at 67 years old, but that's the way life is. But thank you to all the people anyway for requesting the interviews. Thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails. Thank you to all the people on the front line. Always thank you to those people who are opening channels, who are spreading the information. A lot of stuff being spread on X, Twitter, which is really good to see. A lot of my old stuff being shared there as well. I saw a section of an interview that I did in 2017 when I was in Copenhagen talking about smart cities and stuff and what to watch out for the cashless grid and all this sort of stuff. It's 2017. Which is like 8 years ago. And everything I said on that little interview, it seems to be coming to pass today. But the thing is, it hasn't come to pass yet. They're still pushing it. They're still trying. They're really pushing this cashless shit in Australia and in other places. But there's been a huge pushback. You know, they hope to have all of this stuff in play like years ago, like by 2020, 2021, they wanted to have all this stuff in place. But they haven't. It's 2025 now, and it's still not in place. You know, when they said they were going to go in and take out seven countries in 5 years, that was back in 2002 they said that. 2025, they still haven't managed to achieve that. So that's like, you know, 23 years later. They still haven't managed to achieve it. There's been a lot of pushback, folks, and there's going to be a lot of pushback. It's going to continue. And like I said, Israel's revealed itself. People are talking about a whole lot of more. People are talking about Rhein-Wiesen-Lager. People are talking about Bolshevism. People are questioning the official World War II narrative and the concept of a Jewish Holocaust. They're realizing that it's not possible. That guy got his maths wrong on the last report I did as well. I should have checked the math before I posted it. But he said that it would have been 2,800 people a minute they would have had to kill. No, it's actually 2.8 people a minute they would have had to have killed, which is still impossible. I mean, it's still impossible. That's 24 hours a day going around the clock. 2.8 people a minute you'd have to have murdered and burned and disposed of. It's not possible. But he did get his math wrong. Interesting. But a lot of people are questioning the Holocaust narrative. They're talking about a lot of more. You know, all of Hitler's speeches being translated into English and published has been interesting for a lot of people as well. They're hearing that and going, well, hang on, this is exactly what we need said in the United States, because they can see that it's the same situation. People are realizing that it's Jews who run all the porn industry, OnlyFans, all this sort of stuff. It's all Jewish. And it's all designed to break down society, all of it. Create this whole superficial narrative in people's minds where they think relationships are all about sex and it's all about what you look like and all sorts of shit like this. And women just destroying their bodies. Men just feeling no confidence in themselves. So much going on to destroy our societies in every way possible. And people are looking at this and they're going, well, this actually all comes from the same people. Why is there a Jewish hand on everything, you know? And a lot of people are seeing this. So how are they going to alleviate it? Well, like I said, perhaps they will hang Benjamin Netanyahu out to dry, because it would suit their narrative to do so. And he must know, well, this is one of the deals when you join the cabal, is that you've got to understand you're just as expendable as everybody else. I mean, look at all the celebrity homes they just burnt through Hollywood. Like, homes in Brentwood, homes in all through Pacific Palisades, through Miami Beach, like all of this prime real estate, all gone. And these are all people who are in the club. I mean, the Hiltons, the Kardashians, a lot of people that are in the club live in that area. They've got to understand that they're all expendable. And the same thing goes for Benjamin Netanyahu. He is expendable if it's done to serve the greater good of the agenda, which is really the greater bad. So who knows? That may be what they're going to do, folks, just in a last-ditch attempt to regain some credibility for the rogue state of Israel. I mean, interesting, there was, I can't remember his name, I had him on the last report, there was a old Israeli prime minister who was saying that the problem Israel faces is the enemy from within, it's the extremist Netanyahu government. That could be all part of the agenda as well, part of the plan. Just getting people to look at it that way. So they don't blame Israel itself, and they don't blame the Jews themselves, they just blame Netanyahu. And you throw him into the fire, then people can cheer it on, and then they'll go back to their normal, complacent nature. Wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. All the thanks that I just gave to all the people out there who send me kind emails, people who are out there on the front line spreading the word and sharing the information. Thank you to all the people, anybody who has ever made a contribution or a donation to the Crow House website over the last 17 years. You people are what has kept the show going, what has kept me on the air, and I cannot thank you enough for believing in the message as much as I do, and helping spread the word and helping keep it going. And again, I mean, I see all of this as opportunity. I mean, when you look at the state of the world, it's a direct result of our actions. We can blame Israel, blame the governments, blame the politicians, but it's us who still believe in the system, who vote these people in, vote these people out. It's our compliance of wrong behaviour which has allowed the entire thing to continue. You know, some people would even look at it. I mean, people like Mark Passio has said some good stuff about how, you know, if a commanding officer gives a soldier an order to shoot a civilian and the soldier shoots the civilian, well, who's to blame? Who's the villain in this context? A lot of people say, well, it's the commanding officer. Well, to a degree it is, sure, but it's also the soldier who actually carried out the order when he knew it was wrong, but he did it anyway, and what he should have done was turn around and arrest his commanding officer for giving him that order. It's the same thing with our societies. You know, we elect these politicians, they break all their promises, they do terrible things, they start wars, they kill children and do it all in our name, and we blame them. But yet it's our tolerance of their actions which continues the problem and causes the problem to even be there to begin with. You know, we just tolerate this shit. We let them get away with it, and then we blame them when they do the wrong thing. I mean, haven't we learned anything? Why did we put them in there in the first place? They're like post turtles. You know, post turtle. You know, you're driving through the outback in Australia and you see a turtle on a post. It's a post turtle. And what's a post turtle? Well, you look at it and you go, well, obviously, that's not where he belongs. He shouldn't be up on that post. Obviously, he didn't get up on that post by himself. And now he's up there, he's flailing about and doesn't know what to do with himself. So the question is, who's the dumb idiot who put him on the post to begin with? And that's what politicians are, they're post turtles. They're put up there by the people. They shouldn't be there. They've got no idea what they're doing. Some of them do. They're all corrupt. Bought and paid for pedophiles. Which, again, could be another reason for all these fires in California. Burning out a lot of evidence. You know, multifaceted folks. Burning out evidence. Showing people that it doesn't matter how elite you think you are, you're still under our control. And also building back their smart city and everything they want to do. I mean, it was so obviously deliberate. They could have put the fires out with weather weapons, they could have filled the reservoirs up, they could have done all sorts of stuff that they didn't do. And now, of course, they can go and have investigations and blame the mayor and blame this person and blame that person and claim incompetence and blah, blah, blah. It's all deliberate, folks. The whole thing was deliberate.
We've got thousands of National Guard men and women that have been on here. We pre-positioned 120 engines, helicopters, dozers, water tenders. We did that on Sunday, 2 days before this event. So
you've heard it said, where there's smoke, there's fire. And of course, you've also heard it said, wherever there's a smoking podcaster, there's a fire truck. Dang it.
To rebuild these communities back and rebuild them better than they were when we started this fire.
So yeah, there, I'm getting sidetracked again. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to all the people who've been here since the beginning. I mean, I get emails from people who used to come and listen to me chat on the Ventrilo server back in, like, I don't know, 2006 or 2007 or something like that. People that have been here right since the beginning, which is remarkable. And again, thank you to all the people who've ever contributed. Thank you to the people who sent me kind emails. Just thank you to everybody out there on the front line. This is the moment we've been waiting for, folks. And like I said, I see it all as opportunity. You know, we tolerate all this shit, which is why the world gets so bad. And it's going to continue to get bad until we stop tolerating wrong behavior. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse until we step up to the plate. So we're kind of being forced to do that. And that's why this is a time of such great opportunity. Noisy today, folks. Now I've gone from the chainsaws and the jets to the chickens. Roosters. So, yeah. That's what I keep saying, it's on us. The whole thing is on us. But this is a huge opportunity, folks, and I'm really encouraged by the awakening that I've seen. That song put out by IMA, Carmageddon, that I had on the last show, that's still going. That's like number two in England or something, number two on iTunes. I mean, it's really gone a long way. It's still going, folks. It's still gaining momentum. And that's really a song for the times. And the fact that it's gaining so much momentum is a good song, because what's attracting people to that song is the words. I mean, it's kind of a catchy tune, but it's the words. It's the truth that she's saying, and the fact that she wouldn't back down. She faced, you know, blacklisted by a label, the manager quit, all sorts of stuff, but she continued to do it. And that's really inspiring for people, and it's reached millions of people. So good on you, Iron May, for putting out that song. And I'm just going to stop now, folks, because too much paltry noise. And again, all the thank yous, folks. Thank you to all the people who watch the show and contribute and everything. But I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. I'll try not to make it 2 weeks. It'll be a little bit shorter. These chickens, unbelievable. A little bit shorter time than this one, folks. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache.
There is a piece that came out recently in the news about JFK, classified files, and the fact that President Biden has extended the classification of files regarding the JFK assassination. But what many people may not realize is that Roger Stone wrote an entire book all about the investigation and what really happened. And we've got him here for the Sunday special. Roger, thank you so much for joining us.
Jack, thanks very much for having me.
So let's get into the top of it here. What's the latest? What are these files that Biden has classified, and why are they continuing to hold this back?
In 1978, the Congress, under intense fire, formed something called the House Intelligence Select Committee on Assassinations. And the purpose of it was to reexamine the assassinations of not only President John F. Kennedy, but also Dr. Martin Luther King. They passed a law that said in 2017, all of the documents pertaining to the murder of JFK would become declassified unless the President of the United States filed an objection, in which case the president had the authority to kick the can down the road and set up a future date to reexamine and release the material. So in 2017, relatively early in his first term, that date rolled around and Donald Trump was in the White House. I contacted him and I asked him, what are you going to do about the JFK documents? And he said, why hasn't anyone brought this to my attention? And he came back to me about a week later and he said, well, you're absolutely right. This material is scheduled for declassification. You know, they don't want me to release it. So what then subsequently happened was Trump did release roughly 80% of the documents. When I had the occasion to ask him about that, I said, why didn't you let it all out? And he said, it's so horrible. You wouldn't believe it.
Roger, the CIA in Israel killed Kennedy. He threatened Israeli Prime Minister Ben-Gurion over developing nukes at Dimona, so he had Kennedy killed. If this is ever known, Americans will work out Jews own our nation.
My guest today is Shabtai Shavit, who is the former head of the Mossad. And if you know what the Mossad is known for, we're going to get right into it. Thoughts on Soleimani being taken out and Mohsen Fakhrizadeh being taken out, the number one nuclear scientist. When that happened, what did you think about? Like, where did your mind go when you saw Qassem Soleimani and Fakhrizadeh being taken out?
I'll tell you what went through my mind. The notion that when we did similar or identical operations like this in the past, no one in the world knew about it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So in other words, you wouldn't have taken credit for it.
I would, and not only that, I would plan it in such a way that I'll have that a deniability even after the event.
Well, Well, then you're in a league of your own. You know, you're something else when you were the head of Mossad.
I will tell you that I found articles, not in any crackpot publications, but in very sophisticated publications saying, forget Lyndon Johnson, forget the CIA, forget Fidel Castro, Mossad Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy Jr. has stated that he believes the CIA was involved in the assassinations of his father and uncle President John F. Kennedy. He is correct in saying the CIA was involved. Watch the following brief Robert Kennedy Jr. interview, and I'll be back with the recently declassified documents that show the primary motive, why the Kennedys were killed.
I think it's beyond a reasonable doubt at this point in terms of my father's death, in terms of my uncle's death. The evidence is overwhelming that the CIA was involved in the murder and in the cover-up.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. So not long after Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald on camera in the basement of Dallas police headquarters, a lot of Americans started to have some questions about the Kennedy assassination. It was, you'd have to admit, a pretty extraordinary sequence of events. A lone gunman murders the president of the United States, and then, less than 48 hours later, that lone gunman is himself murdered by another lone gunman. What are the odds of that? It's one thing if you get struck by lightning, rare but possible. But if every member of your family also gets struck by lightning all on different days, you might begin to suspect these are not entirely natural events. But oh, replied the U.S. government, they are. This bizarre chain of killings was all entirely natural. So less than a year after the JFK assassination, the Johnson White House released something called the Warren Commission Report. And the report concluded that while their motives remained unclear, both Lee Oswald and Jack Ruby had acted alone. No one helped them. There was no conspiracy of any kind. Case closed. Time to move on. And many Americans did move on. At the time, they had no idea how shoddy and corrupt the Warren Commission was. It would be nearly 50 years before the CIA admitted under duress that, in fact, it had withheld information from investigators about its relationship with Lee Harvey Oswald. But even then, at the time, before that was known, the government's explanation didn't seem entirely plausible, and some people started asking obvious questions about it. It was at that point, as Americans started to doubt the official story, that the term conspiracy theory entered our lexicon. As Professor Lance DeHaven Smith points out in his book on the subject, the term conspiracy theory did not exist as a phrase in everyday American conversation before 1964. In 1964, the year the Warren Commission issued its report, the New York Times published five stories in which conspiracy theory appeared. Now, today, of course, the term conspiracy theory appears in pretty much every New York Times story about American politics. It's wielded, now as then, as a weapon against anyone who asks questions the government doesn't feel like answering. But despite 60 years of name-calling, those questions have not disappeared. In fact, they have multiplied with time. And here's one of them. In April of 1964, a psychiatrist called Louis Joylin West visited Jack Ruby in his isolation cell in a Dallas jail. According to West's written assessment, he found that Jack Ruby was, quote, technically insane and in need of immediate psychiatric hospitalization. Those are conclusions that, puzzlingly, no one who had spoken to Jack Ruby previously had reached. Ruby had seemed perfectly sane to the people who knew him. Louis Joylin West pronounced him crazy. But what West did not say was that he was working for the CIA at the time. Louis Joylin West was a contract psychiatrist for the spy agency. He was also an expert on mind control and a prominent player in the now infamous MKUltra program, in which the CIA gave powerful psychiatric drugs to Americans without their knowledge. So of all the psychiatrists in the world, what in the world was this guy doing in Jack Ruby's prison cell? The media did not seem interested in finding out. In fact, the New York Times, in an extensive 1999 obituary of West, never mentioned the fact that he had worked for the CIA, much less his time in Jack Ruby's cell, which seems relevant. So you can see why non-crazy people would wonder about what really happened. And of course, many have wondered. In 1976, long forgotten, the House of Representatives impaneled a special committee to reinvestigate the JFK assassination. Their bipartisan conclusion? Jack Kennedy was almost certainly murdered as the result of a conspiracy. But the question is, a conspiracy by whom? Well, the obvious suspect would be the CIA. Why else would the agency withhold critical evidence from investigators? Is there a benign explanation for that, for maintaining this level of secrecy for this many years? Not that we're aware of. And it is illegal. In 1992, Congress passed the President John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Collection Act. That act mandated full disclosure of all documents by 2017, 54 years after JFK was killed. The last administration promised to comply fully with that law, but under intense pressure from CIA Director Mike Pompeo, withheld in the end thousands of pages of CIA documents. Today, this afternoon, the Biden administration did exactly the same thing. That would be thousands of pages of documents after nearly 60 years. After the death of every single person involved. But we still can't see them. Clearly, it's not to protect any person. They're all dead. It's to protect an institution. But why? Well, today we decided to find out. We spoke to someone who had access to these still hidden CIA documents, a person who was deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly, did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? And here's the reply we received verbatim. Quote, the answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake. It's hard to imagine a more jarring response than that. Again, this is not a, quote, conspiracy theorist that we spoke to. Not even close. This is someone with direct knowledge of the information that once again is being withheld from the American public. And the answer we received was unequivocal. Yes, the CIA was involved in the assassination of the president. Now, some people will not be surprised to hear that. They suspected it all along. But no matter how you feel about or what you thought about the Kennedy assassination, pause to consider what this means. It means that within the U.S. government, there are forces wholly beyond democratic control. These forces are more powerful than the elected officials that supposedly oversee them. These forces can affect election outcomes. They can even hide their complicity in the murder of an American president. In other words, they can do pretty much anything they want. They constitute a government within a government, mocking by their very existence the idea of democracy. As cynical as we have become after 30 years of watching government officials ignore the voters who employ them, we were shocked to learn this. It's not acceptable. Americans have trusted their government less with every passing year since the killing of John F. Kennedy. Maybe this is why. And people have known this for a long time. The people who knew would include every director of the CIA since November of 1963. And that list would include Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, one of the most sinister and dishonest figures in American life. That list would also include, we are sad to say, our friend Mike Pompeo, who ran the CIA in the last administration. Mike Pompeo knew this. We asked Pompeo to join us tonight, and though he rarely turns down a televised interview, he refused to come. We hope he will reconsider.
The CIA and Israel killed Kennedy. Jews own our nation.
Can't see you. I'm cold and I'm scared. Tears running down my cheek. I feel so despair. Mama, don't leave me. Underneath the rubble, by myself, hear my plea. Take me in your arms and hold me tight. Mama, rescue me. I can feel the angel by my side. Everything will be all right. Mama, please don't cry. Mama, I can hear the thunder. The ground is shaking, the bombs are falling as I lay my head on this cold, cold stone. It's time to close my eyes. Mama, hold me in your arms. I don't want to die alone. I don't wanna die alone.